All right, let me invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me again this evening. And it's really a good day. I know that many of you are a little wiped out, a little tired from the volleyball, which, you know, I hope that the young guys really appreciate us, the fact that we old men let you guys win the last two games. First one was the only one that counted. That was a chance. We won that. Yeah. And then we decided to let you have a couple practice games, make you feel good. So hope you enjoyed that. But, you know, I really hope that as our time is drawing to an end, we're really near the end of our time together and kind of nearing this portion of scripture that we're going through together, that you will really just take the time to really be grateful to the Lord for the unique privilege and opportunity He's given you to be in this place. Amen. The Lord has really He's given me a lot of opportunities, unique opportunities to serve Him in different capacities like this. And one of the things that you see when you travel in the different states and different countries that the Lord has brought me to is that not everyone has this kind of opportunity. And these kind of unique opportunities that God gives you are not to be taken lightly, but to not only be really, if you want to say, taken advantage of, to get all that you can out of them, but to really have a heart of gratitude, because there's so many people who have never even been one time to something like this. And I am been so many places where people would love to have an opportunity to take just a couple days to come aside and to be with brothers and sisters in Christ and to spend time in good, wholesome Christian fun, just doing great activities, to have extended time in the Word of God and to be able to fellowship with one another. And this is a really unique opportunity. You're very blessed. You've been given very much. And remember, to whom much has been given, much is required. And so really, I hope that you will take even just a few moments before you leave at some point to really just to offer praise to God and thank Him intentionally and with a full heart for what He has done. And just for the special, unique opportunity. You don't live at camp. You understand that? You live in life. But sometimes these are little times of refreshing and encouragement and challenge where the Lord really can do a work in our heart to help us as we go home to live for Jesus Christ. And that's been my heart's desire, that God is doing that in you. Let's say our theme verse together. Say it with me good and loud. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now, some of you guys have done a great job memorizing a verse. Some of you, it's been a while since you've memorized a verse. And you know what? I hope that that verse will stick with you. And whenever you think of that verse, the Lord will take your mind back to this passage specifically and remind you of some of the truths of knowing Christ and growing in Christ. We're going to continue in our passage. We have been reminded, because of our position in Christ, we have the like precious faith, and that grace and peace is to be abundant, is to be multiplying in our lives, and Christ is our sufficiency. We've been given great and precious promises. We're a partaker of the divine nature. We've escaped the corrupting power of this current anti-God, anti-gospel age and its sinful desires. And for those reasons, we're to be giving all diligence. We're to make every effort, putting maximum effort into adding to our faith these things. And we're going to look at two more this evening, and I want you to look with me. I invite you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We were in verse 6 where it says, and to knowledge temperance. And now we're going to see two more. It says, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Two more essential qualities that are to be in the life of every believer. The first one we see is the word patience. This word means endurance. One of the ways that it can be defined is the idea of staying under. Here's the idea, is that a burden has been placed upon you, and instead of trying to get it off of you or to give it to someone else, you stay under it because you realize what has been placed on you has been given to you by God, and you endure. You know, endurance is a Christ-like quality that he really manifested for us. I want you to think of Hebrews chapter 12. And it says this, that speaking of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, He endured the what?
Cross.
The cross.
You see, Jesus Christ said in his prayer in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do you realize, had not Christ endured, salvation would have been possible for no one? He endured the cross. He became sin for us. All of the wrath of God poured out upon Jesus Christ as he drank the cup of the wrath of God in full for us, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be delivered, so that we could be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Life with God that begins through faith in Christ and continues for all eternity. Christ endured. By the way, have you ever stopped to think about all that Christ endured just in life? To be born into poverty. He was born in a carpenter's home. By the way, that doesn't mean he was a woodworker. It means he was a stonemason. He worked with stone. And matter of fact, in different parts of Nazareth, they believe that some of the parts of that of Nazareth that is standing was probably built by Jesus Christ when he was alive. It was a very hard life, very difficult work, and he grew up in poverty. Think of his ministry. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Living with poor people and being mocked and having people wanting to kill you all the time, leaving all of the immense glories of heaven, he endured so much for us. Now, when we endurance for us is this. Many times in life, we need to understand that we need to stay under what is going on in our lives. Here's what is our natural response when things go bad, when things get tough? What do we want to do? We want to stop. I'm done. I want out. I want to quit. I want to give it to someone else. You know, sometimes the things that we endure are trials and difficulties that are not even of our own making. You understand that? Different things happen in our lives and they're just difficult. You know, we need to remember James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various trials, knowing this. The trying of your faith works patience. Same word, endurance. Let patience or endurance have a perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete and mature, wanting nothing or lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all and liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As you go through trials, you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need God's grace. And he says this, you find all that in Christ. As you go through the trials, don't shortchange what God is trying to do in your life by you trying to get out of the trial. Let God accomplish in your life what he desires to do in your life through the trial. Some of the trials that we go through are because of the sins of other people. You know, how many times have you been tempted to quit? You know, as I travel across the country in the U.S., I meet so many people, it'd just be so easy for them to give up on God, give up on church. I think of my own youth group where we had a husband of one family and a wife of another family get involved in an adulterous relationship and it blew up the homes. One family lived for Jesus Christ and the children are doing well. The other family turned their back on God, and those are the boys who are involved in immorality and drugs and have broken lives. You know, I wonder how many parents have said, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm giving up. I can't do this on my own. I was abandoned by my spouse. It's too hard. I want my kids to live for God, but it's too hard saying no. So you know what? There's too many pulls and pressures of the world. I'm tired of being the bad guy and always saying no. I'm just going to give in. I wonder how many have gone through such difficult trials and gone through difficult times and it's become hard. And so what they do is, it just seems the easy thing to do is they're weary and they're tired and they're discouraged. And so they give in and they give up. When you think of the word endurance, think this. Never give in, never give up, endure by the grace of God. This is not, look at me, this endurance is not a resignation of hopelessness. It's not, well, this is the lot that God has given me, the cross that I will bear. I am destined to this life of abject misery and woe, and so I will plod on for Jesus.
This is not an endurance of resignation of hopelessness. This is an endurance with hope and joy.
Amen.
Realizing that my Savior endured for me. And every hurt, and every heartache, and every weakness that I face, and every time I fall on my face, He's there. Sometimes our trials define us not by how many times we fall, but by how many times we get back up. By the grace of God. Some of you are struggling. Some of you have gone through things that I have no idea about, and I don't need to know, but God does. And some of you have been tempted to quit, to turn your back on God. I'm not going to church. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm done. I'm just going to give in. I'm going to give up. What's the use? Look at me. Everything is the use because you're a child of God and you have all you need to live for Jesus Christ. And He promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said, He makes a promise, my grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And when we are weak, He is strong, and He delights in magnifying His grace in those who humble themselves. And He comes alongside and carries us by His grace and His mercy and gives us peace and enables us to endure even as Christ endured for us. The second thing I want us to look at this evening is the next word. He says we're to add to patience or endurance godliness. I love this word. There's a couple different ways that you can kind of define it. One is this, and this is probably my favorite, God-likeness. Like being like Him. Kind of another cool way that it is defined is to worship well. It involves worship. Here's the idea. The idea of worship is this. It is the worshiping well is this. It is me showing the worth of who my God is by living a life of worship to Him that shows that I am submitted to Him and I am living my life for Him. It's an attitude that is devoted completely Godward, seeking to please Him in every area of my life. You know what one of the problems with godliness is? We don't understand it. How do you measure godliness? You ever think about it? How do you measure godliness? Let me tell you how you do it in a lot of independent Baptist churches. Here is how you know if you're godly or not. You ready? Are you ready for this? Because I'm going to tell you, by the way, this is not accurate, but this is how it's done. Standards equal godliness. Standards equal spirituality, right? Oh, yeah, man. You know what? I know I'm godly because here is my do list and here is my don't list. Right? I do, and I don't watch, I don't listen, I don't go, I don't wear, I don't, oh, here I go. And here's what that is. It's measurable. It's attainable. It's achievable. And even more important for us, for some reason, as independent Baptists, it's comparable. Yeah, right? So what do? Oh, what's your list? What's that? Ooh. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Now, let me explain something here. I want to say something because don't sit there and say, oh, he's saying standard. I'm not saying standard is wrong. Let me explain what a standard is. You know what standards are? A standard is something in your life that it directly relates to your weakness. What it is, a standard is a barrier or a wall that you put up in your life to make it difficult for you to go to a temptation of sin that is really easy for you to go back into. That's all a standard is. For example, my grandpa was an alcoholic. Understand that. Alcoholic. My grandpa chose not to go into restaurants that served alcohol. Do you know why he didn't go into those restaurants? Because if he did, he was tempted to go back to alcohol. Now, he didn't say that if you went to a restaurant that he didn't put that on his list and said anybody who goes to a restaurant that serves alcohol doesn't love God. That's not what he said. He just said, for me, I can't go in that restaurant because I go in there and I smell that liquor. It's going to stir up. I may drink again. And I don't want to do that. You know what we do as Christians? We build our walls and we erect our flags. And here's what we do. We look around and we begin to compare to everybody else's walls. Oh, their walls are lower than ours. So what do we call? Liberals! Right? And then we're looking around, we got our little flag up here, and oh!
Their walls are higher than ours.
So you know what we cry?
Legalist! Right? And we compare. Look, here's the sad reality, is that there are so many believers today, their security is in their standards. And if that standard is ever taken away, they become shaken. And they are insecure, and they're not sure what to do, because that has been their righteousness. Look, we are talking not about salvific legalism. You know what that is? In other words, my own efforts, my own works, earning me salvation. We are talking about sanctification legalism, whereby my list of do's and don'ts, and by the way, just like the Pharisees, adding to God's word to provide spirituality, if I do that, it makes me spiritual. That's what they're looking to. Look at me. Standards are never the measuring stick of godliness. Do you know what it is? If we don't measure by standards, what do we measure to? I'm glad you asked. Look at me. Godliness is never measured by standards. It's always measured by the Savior.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. You see, I have people, and here's their do list. They're in church every time the doors are open, and that's great. But you can go to church and not walk with God. Mm-hmm. You understand that? And they have the to-do list, and they don't do this, and they don't wear this, and they got their little list. But yet, in their heart, when that's their little list of things. But over here, there's no kindness. There's no mercy. There's no heart for the poor. There's no heart for the lost. There's no love for the brethren. Rather, it's filled with a self-sufficient pride and piety that looks down with disdain upon anyone who does not have the exact same standard as I do, not realizing that Christ is our measurement of what true godliness is. You see, look at me, believer. If we're all looking to the same Savior, we will be coming. The point is this. We think that we have godly churches because everybody in the church holds the same standard. That's baloney.
That's right.
We have churches of godly people because they're all seeking to attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
He is what is the true measure of godliness. Can I tell you something? Get your eyes off your standards. Get your eyes on the Savior.
Amen.
That is godliness. So when we talk about being diligent to add to your faith these things, to add godliness, we are talking about a purposeful, intentional pursuit of Christlikeness. And by the way, people who truly are godly, there are things they will do and not do. Not because that's their righteousness, but because they're living to please Christ and not themselves. May God help us, you, me, to be diligent to add to our faith patience, endurance, and godliness. Our message is done, and we're going to take some time, as we've done each night, to reflect and to respond to God's word. Now look at me, friend. When we start talking about trials and difficulties, we see the outside. I don't see your heart. I don't know what's going on in your life. Nobody's come to me and said, hey, somebody's going through this. So if you're sitting there thinking, somebody told him about me. No, they didn't. But the reality is I have a very special place in my heart for people who go through trials because God's brought me through so many. Like when I was a youth pastor and I almost died because I had severe reactive hypoglycemia where my blood sugar dropped to actual zero, which is dead. Where it was in single digits, which is supposed to be coma, God brought me through that. As a result of that, I believe I lost my fiance. I was engaged to a girl. To this day, I have still never been told why the engagement got broken, but I think it was my sickness. At the same time, in a church where there were people who were attacking me, lying about me, writing letters without signing their name, saying very awful and untrue and unkind things. A pastor who stood in the pulpit and lied about me 3 times publicly because the decision he made didn't go well and he wanted somebody to blame for it, and it was me. And that's the tip of the iceberg. I've been there. It's hard. Wanting to quit ministry. I've been there when I thought my wife had cancer 2 years ago. And I cried with my wife and my boys, not knowing what was going on, had to cancel our whole fall, not knowing how God was going to provide for our financial needs. I could tell you story after story of the different trials that God has brought us through as a family and me personally. I can tell you, yeah, sometimes you want to quit. Sometimes it's hard and it seems too much to bear. Some of you are at that point where you're going to make a life choice of whether you're going to endure or whether you're going to give up and give in. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your need is, but I want to implore you by the grace of God to understand that there is grace and peace in Jesus Christ, that regardless of how difficult your trial is and how stormy the storm you are in and how dark and how much fear and how much unknown there is in your life, I implore you, I beg you, don't give in, don't give up. Trust God's grace and endure. Some of you are struggling with the whole godliness thing. Your security has been found right here in the standards. You need to realize your security is Christ. Maybe we need to stop looking at what the other Baptist churches are doing, what they do and don't do, other people, and we need to just say, you know what, our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. If we stop worrying about pleasing everyone else and started pleasing one person, and that was Jesus Christ, it would make a major difference in every one of our lives. It would make a massive difference in our churches. However God may have spoken to you tonight, can I encourage you in our time of quiet together? I know it's tiring. I get that. Would you please intentionally and purposefully reflect on that truth of God's word of endurance? And by the way, some of you don't know what's coming this year, but you better ask God to help you endure during the trials, because some of you are going to face something this year that you've never faced before and you have no idea it's coming. You need to be prepared to endure. And number two, ask God to help you to pursue Christ-likeness, godliness, measuring your life by the Savior, not by a standard. However God may have spoken to your heart, please, let's intentionally, thoughtfully reflect on His Word and obey His truth. Let's take the next couple minutes of quiet before the Lord to reflect and to respond to His Word.